What a privilege to be able to bring the Word of God this morning. You know, I grew up in an era of magical songs on the radio. They were all about this magical word called love. And there were lots of questions about love in songs. And often, there was no answer provided. Tina Turner sang, "What is love anyway? What has love got to do with it anyway?" I'm not going to sing. I am going to spare your ears. Howard Jones sang, "What is love anyway? Does anybody love anybody anyway?" Or Hathaway, who was a Trinidadian German singer, he sang a song called "What is Love?" And his song went, "What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more." So what is love? How do we define what love is? Because if we're going to talk about aspects of God, we need to know what it is about love that God is. AI, the go-to solution for so many people in this day and age, AI defines love this way, or at least it did for me. Love is a complex, multifaceted emotion and behaviour characterised by deep affection, intimacy, commitment and care for another person or entity. It acts as a major bonding force and is often described not just as a feeling but as a proactive commitment and willing the good of the other. It can encompass emotional closeness, passion and sacrificial action. What a definition. But not good enough. But not good enough for us this morning. The Bible states that God is love. The Bible states that God is love. So if God is love, our definition and understanding of what love is defines who we believe God is. If we take AI's definition and we apply that to who God is, do you think we're going to get the right result? Probably not. If we take Tina Turner, we're probably not getting the right answer. If we take those songs, if we take our understanding, we're going to be left short. Sometimes it could be a difficult concept for us to grasp that God is love. We hear statements like, if God loves, how can God? If God is loving, how does God allow? If God loves me, why has this? That could change or warp our perception of who God really is. We heard God is the I am. We heard that God is unchangeable. But we need to hear that God is love. So as we wrestle with this morning, and we're going to wrestle, lean in. Allow God to stretch your understanding of your definition of love and who He is and who He is in your life and who He wants to be and how He wants us to outwork that in our lives. Our key Bible passage for today is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 21. It's long. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is... Ooh, nearly got there. God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. The fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. What a powerful scripture, full of the word love, full of love of God for us, full of commandment and instruction for us to love others as he loved us. But if we don't get the right concept of love, we may appropriate the wrong things in the wrong places. So let's look a little bit deeper at what love is. Because in our human English language, we have this one word that encompasses so many different facets. As AI said, it's multifaceted. This can be difficult for us to understand. How can one thing be more than one thing? This is an apple. This is pink. This is spotty. This is fresh. This is crisp. This is juicy. This is nutritious. This is sweet. This is multifaceted. All of those statements are true for this one object. So when we come to God, why do we try to limit him down to a single identifiable factor? So he is the I am. He is unchangeable. And he is love. And he is multifaceted. So as we look at these different facets of love, we're going to turn to the Greek language to get some deeper understanding of some of the forms of love and how they might apply to God and how they might apply to us and how we might apply them to the world around us. And the first type of love that we're going to look at is called eros love. This is a romantic and intimate love. This is not specifically referenced in the Bible, but the concept is definitely seen, particularly in the book of Song of Solomon's, where you see this passionate outpouring of love from one partner to another. This passionate love and desire is supposed to be kept within the confines of a safe, loving relationship of marriage. Romantic love is not supposed to be shared with everybody you meet. Not everyone you meet is supposed to be a Valentine's Day moment. It would be seriously wrong. You laugh. But you need to think about that for a second. You need this to be appropriated in the right places. And there are warnings all through the Bible that you should stay together in those confines. That is healthy. It brings honor and glory to God when it's put in the right places. But when it's in the wrong places, it's destructive. Just look at David and Bathsheba. When he saw and acted on passion, it's listed as one of his greatest sins. It's a warning to you that when those passions are stirred in the wrong spaces, you keep them in check. You need to keep those things, but it is put there by God. He puts it within us. He also outworks that in saying, I woo you into my presence. I woo you into my presence. I seek after you to grab your attention. Song of Songs says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. It's jealousy, unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all one's wealth in the house for love, it would be utterly scorned. The word here for love is a Hebrew word. It's the word dod, and it means romantic love. It's the equivalent of eros love. God has put this concept there, and we need to remember that it is a gift from God, not to be ashamed of, to be outworked in the correct confines of what we're supposed to live with. Our second form of love today is philia, a love of self. A love of self, to love oneself or to have proper regard for the attention of one's own happiness and well-being. This word is referenced in the Bible once. Once. In 2 Timothy 3:2, it's actually referenced and gives a warning not to become self-obsessed and self-focused on chasing after fulfillment. But rather we should live in a balance of self-care and respect, that we need to have the love your neighbour as yourself kind of mentality. I need to look after myself, but not become self-seeking in how I outwork my love. My posts on social media should not be trying to bring attention to me. My actions that I do out in the world should not be bringing attention to me. As I stand here and preach, these words should not be bringing attention to me. They should be bringing glory to God. As Pastor Bevan led this morning, he doesn't want people to focus on him. He wants people to focus on worshiping God. It is seeking in the right place, but it's putting focus back to God. It's looking after yourself. Pastor Bevan can't lead in worship if he looks after his voice by screaming all night long. His voice will go hoarse. It wouldn't be taking care. I can't stand here unless I stay in a healthy lifestyle. We have an application here to recognize your worth in God's creation and to look after it. That's right. We are called to look after God's creation, are we not? That's right. Are you God's creation? Yes. You should look after yourself. Setting healthy boundaries, caring for your physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Our third form of love today. Filial love, friendship and affection. The love that you would show to a brother or a friend, someone who's really close to you. This is a deep love that has care, concern, compassion, but no sexual feelings. It is marked by deep affection and is built over time through encouragement and shared experiences with genuine care. This form of love we need to work on. We need to work on by building those relationships with each other in this house. This is a form of love that also needs to be operating in your marriage. This is the sort of love that needs to operate throughout your life with all sorts of people that you come across, with your children, with your parents. John 5:20 says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. This love that the Father shows, this is a friendship love. This is the word philia. This is not some warped space. This is the word philia. This is God showing you that we should have that deep affection and care for each other. John 16 verse 27, "No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." Both those words are the word philia. This is God having deep affection and friendship with you because you are building a deep and affectionate friendship with Jesus. And that outworks with you building deep, affectionate and friendship with those around you. How beautiful it is when someone who's sick has someone come along beside them and have compassion upon them. How beautiful it is when someone is grieving that someone just puts their arm around them and says, "I'm sorry." How beautiful it is to have someone celebrate when someone gets married. This is the kind of action that we need. Consistently showing up for others. Speaking truth with grace. Celebrating and grieving together. Developing strong friendships with God and with others. Our fourth form of love this morning. Storge love. This is a love of family and natural attraction. This is love that can best be described as instinctual affection, primarily representing the deep bond between family members, such as a parent and a child or among siblings. It is a comfortable, often unspoken love built on familiarity and safety, encompassing loyalty and protective, nurturing care. For most who've become parents, the moment their child is born, there's a deep love. You can't change it. You want to protect your children. You want to look after them. You want to love them. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." You see, the word storge isn't directly referenced in the Bible. But there's a compound word used in this passage, and it's not for the word love. It's devoted. The word devoted here is philos togros, or something to that effect. It's a compound word using the word storge and philio to create a compound word that creates this deep devotion. Deep devotion. Don't we need to have a deep devotion towards each other? Don't we need that depth of devotion that isn't based upon a feeling or an outworking, but it's a devoted towards the benefit of others? Our fifth form of love is Philadelphia love. Brotherly love. It represents a deep familial bond often used in biblical context to describe the love Christians share as brothers and sisters. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. The word love is Philadelphia. Be devoted to each other with this strong, affectionate towards people in a brotherly love. In care and concern for others with the correct love. It's not based around the feelings once again. It's a decision to be persistent and uphold and seek out the well-being of the people that are next to you. This is love in action. Hebrews 13:1 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Keep on Philadelphia one another as brothers and sisters. You see, when we read the Bible, we read these words love. And that's why there's multifacets. It's deeper than just the word as you had perceived it originally. I was challenged putting this together. Really challenged. Philadelphia love teaches us love isn't always based on feelings, but on faithfulness. It's a decision to be persistent in our love and best interests of others, to set the correct boundaries in how we relate to others and not blur the lines of love. Not blur the lines of love. This love is not supposed to spill over into eros. This love is not supposed to spill over into different forms of love. It's not to spill over into eros. We aren't to blur the lines. We need to keep these things sanctified before God. Our sixth form of love. Agape love. The one that's often spoken around by Christians. Self-sacrificial love. It's the highest form of love in Greek philosophy, representing selfless, unconditional, and altruistic love. It embraces a profound sacrificial love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstance. It is non-judgmental, forgiving, covenant-forming, pure, persistent, kind, just, protecting, safe, trustworthy, and active. The word used in our key passage of 1 John 4 in verse 8, God is love, is this word. God is agape. And it's not just an action, it's actually his name. And he outworks it through action. God is love is a different statement to God is loving. Yes, God is loving. Because God is love. If he is love, he can't help but be loving. The word doesn't say God is loving. It says he is love. It's his name. It's his character. It's his name and it's his character. And again, in verse 16, where it says God is love, it's the same word. In fact, through that whole passage, it is either the name or the outworking of in the verb form of that word agape. That whole passage of Scripture talks about agape love. Self-sacrificial. The kind of love that we are called to try and emulate because it's what Christ did for us. When he died on the cross for us, it was self-sacrificial to love you into the kingdom. He loved you so much for that. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, defines love this way. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This word here, every one of those words, love, is agape. So love is patient, kind. There's no envy. There's contentment. It's not boastful. It's modest. It's not proud. It's humble. It doesn't dishonor. It's honoring. It's not self-seeking. It's other-focused. It's not easily angered. It's calm and peaceful. It doesn't keep records of wrong. It's forgiving. There's no evil because it's full of goodness. It's truth. It protects and it trusts. It hopes. It perseveres and it never fails. Let me read that scripture again. God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. Wow. That's God is love. That's God is love in action. Some other scriptures maybe, just quickly. And I would encourage you, wrestle at home with this. Do some research. Ephesians 3:19, may you experience the love of Christ. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. John 15:13, there is no greater love that you lay down one's life for one's friends. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Galatians 2:20, I've been put up on the cross to die with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by putting my trust in the Son of God. He is the one who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 John 3:18, dear children, it's not merely to say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Mark 12:29-31, Jesus answered, the first of all these commandments is, hear Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. In each of those scriptures, the word love is agape. Have love for one another. Have self-sacrificial love for God. It's not good enough for us to say we love and not action it. It wasn't good enough for Jesus to say, I love you, and not put it to action. It would be remiss of me this morning to not offer those that have been in this room listening online the opportunity to respond to God's love, maybe for the first time or maybe again. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, God so agape'd the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." See, God loved you that he gave you the opportunity to make a statement of belief in response to his love, that you might be brought into his kingdom, in his family. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. By this we know God, because he laid his life down for us." In Romans 10:9, it says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And if that's something you want to do this morning, you want to respond to that love of God, then I'm just going to ask the church to bow their heads, close their eyes. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Not to me, not to my words, but to God's call upon your heart. And if that's you and you want to say, "I want to respond to God's love this morning," on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and put it down again. It's not about hands this morning. It's about your response to God. 1, 2, 3.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.